This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented to you by Kutt. Kutt is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to Kutt.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em chance for a time for a chance to win 100 times your money in the NBA, MLB, NHL, NBA, and more. Sign up today using promo code GOLFSGPN to get 100% deposit match. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game odds. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month.
Good evening, late evening, everybody. It's your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Doing our Live Golf Miami Best Bets back at the Row. Steve, it's late. It's about 11 o'clock Eastern. It's time to go. Let's talk about some Live, man.
Yeah, it's golf gambling after dark, I guess. Talking about Live Golf Miami, the darker side of professional golf, apparently.
That's right. None of our listeners are old enough to remember Showtime After Dark, but oh boy, was that fun for a puberty Boston Capper. Holy God, that was the best.
Well, good for you. But now we're talking about Live Golf Miami. We see a bunch of guys that I got some pushback on this that I think we're looking at like polar opposite. The PGA Tour is just a different place than the Live Tour right now. Whereas the PGA Tour, we just got done talking about the Valero just seems like just a lot of the top guys just are not playing all that good right now. And that's why we've seen, I think, a lot of unexpected winners in the PGA Tour, whether it be just guys aren't playing well or just not giving a shit, or just they recognize these events don't really matter in the grand scheme of things, so they're just not giving it at all. Whereas I feel like it's complete polar opposite over on Live right now. The guys who are expected to play well, the top players are doing well, which I think has actually helped the brand. It's a lot better than when like Danny Lee was winning like Live Tucson or Chucky 3-6 with Mayakoba. It does give it a little more credit.
I forgot about him.
It does give it a little more credibility. I mean, hey, Chucky 3-6 has been playing pretty good golf this year. We'll show it. I'll show you in the stats that are not official strokes gained, by the way, unlike some other stuff that has been floating out there. I know, easy. But I think this is. And I may mention this, I didn't finish my point in the first show, but I feel like there's three golf tournaments going on this week. There's Valero. Well, I mean, there's more than that, but like three main ones. Valero, this one, Live Miami, and the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Mm. And I feel like if you are prepping for the Masters, you need to prioritize Live Miami over Valero, because I can't think of anything that's ever happened to Valero that ended up impacting, excuse me, what happened at the Augusta the following week. Nothing has really changed my opinion. So I feel like if you have not been watching Live and you want to get an eye on what Bryson and Rahm and Koepka and DJ, who all have played very well so far this year and could legitimately win the Masters, just get a good eye on them, see like what they're doing, so you don't go in completely blind. You're on a difficult golf course this week that is going to test them. It's not definitely not the same questions that are asked at this place versus Augusta National. But I feel like if you don't want to go in blind and you want to know what these guys are doing, you have to suck it up and watch the Live Golf event. And the other one is I feel like we need to keep an eye on what happens to the women's amateur as well, because I think just seeing how Augusta National looks and plays. I remember a couple of years ago with the women's amateur, that's where we all found out how rock hard firm Augusta was playing in 2021 when balls just were not staying in the fairway. And that was actually helpful to handicap the following week. But but moral of the story is, I mean, if you're trying to decide if you want to bet, watch Valero or Live Miami, regardless of your bets, it's probably fire up the CW app and let the Saudis spy on you. Yeah. And
I got it on all my TVs.
Yep. There you go. So, I always wonder too, like, it seems like they put up any tweet that seems to be very positive towards a Live Golf. Cam, I wonder if you probably should tweet from our account something positive at Live just to get us a little bit of exposure. We're trying to drive the numbers and views. That would be a great way to get all the bots on our radar. for this tournament.
So. There's so many bots. See, Steve, you're not even on Twitter anymore, bro. You thought the bots were bad when you were there. there is an insane, and when I say insane, I mean an insane amount of porn bots. It is incredible. That and like betting ones, like come check my winning record. I made 12 million units last week and like click link here. And it was funny. It was a couple weeks ago. It was either Sean or Ryan posted something. And it was like 50 replies. 48 of them were fucking porn bots. It was fucking nuts. The Twitter is a different place right now.
Yeah, I mean, social media in general is just a cesspool at this point, and it's kind of be good. It's kind of refreshing to be on the sidelines, and I'm not really missing
much going on right there.
And besides, I mean, like, if there's anything pertinent or like breaking news, you always just send it to me anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't need to be on there.
I'm your curator.
All right. So we're talking about Liv Dorrell. And so you said that you have fond memories of the tournament?
I said a funny story.
Okay. Well, why don't we kick off with a funny story then before I get super serious?
I don't know how funny it's actually going to be. So I was leaving my financial firm, right? And I was using what they call broker protocol. So it's where you go in and you say, hey, I'm leaving, but here's a list of my clients and I'm going to attempt to take them with me, right? And so I put this big stack on the desk and they're like, wait, but you have the trip to Doral next week because won some contest, right? They were like, but you have the trip to Doral next week. Will you reconsider to go play Doral? And I was like, no, no, I won't. They tried to use Doral as like a sweetener. I was like, no, I'm good, man. Appreciate it, though.
What? You don't want to play an impossibly hard, long golf course with water hazards and you don't want
to call the blue monster? No, thank you.
You don't want to go through 24 golf balls?
No.
I'm shocked. I was told that that's good golf design, playing golf courses like that.
Listen, Florida golf courses in general. You played down here, like it's more expensive to play golf in Florida because even if you're playing good, you're gonna lose a ball or two. Like it's just going to happen. There's water fucking everywhere.
A ball or two is probably like a ball or two every three holes.
Listen, man, I was trying to be nice to my ego. Okay.
Okay. All right. So. All right. Well, why don't we get to it then? Why don't I bring up Trump Doral in all of its glory? There it is right there. Look at all that man-made water lakes right there. Just really thoughtful design and creative golf course right here. This was Trump Doral. This is the Blue Monster. There are, I think, five golf courses at the Doral Resort. The golf resort was built in 1962 by real estate pioneer Alfred Kiskel. And the name Doral is actually what's that?
Why do you know that?
Because I know how to use Google. And I always talk about, just with every golf course, I talk about the origins of it.
I know.
Even the terrible ones like this one. Okay. And the name Doral actually is a combination of this guy and his wife's name. So his wife's name was Doris and his name is Alfred. So they named it Doral.
All right. I'm going to say something really stupid and that's fine. I legitimately thought like the cigarette brand sponsored.
It's not bad. You know, maybe I should have just lied to everybody and said that's the case.
So I'm not, until you literally just told me that, I just assumed that. I was like, man, Doral still has fucking money, huh?
All right. You know what I'm going to do like going forward? Like that's kind of like a Ron Burgundy, like San Diego moment. Like, what does it mean? I'm going to ask you, like, you know, what do you know about this golf course?
Let's do it.
And whatever comes to your brain about where you think this came from, you're just going to tell everybody.
I love it. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Well, this is the Blue Monster and this was designed by Dick Wilson. Do you remember the name Dick Wilson? We talked about him recently.
Yeah, so it's tingling. I'm not going to pull it, though. It's too late.
So he originally designed Bay Hill. Yes. And I did not know that he originally designed this golf course. So Dick Wilson loves impossibly hard, brutal golf courses with a whole lot of water on it and a lot of bunkers. And this is basically, you know, I mean, we're going to go through a couple of these holes, but really not a lot of difference between this place and Bay Hill. You can probably see it on the screen here.
Yeah.
It's very similar. So, but this golf course though, I mean, it's held a ton of professional tournaments. It was home of the Doral Open from 1962 to 2006, later than it held the WGC Cadillac Championship, which I think most of us watching this and is probably more familiar with from 2007 to 2016. Well, the golf resort, though, itself went into bankruptcy in 2011. And in 2012, it was purchased by the Trump organization. And he renamed it Trump Doral. And Trump ended up doing a $250 million renovation of the golf course and just the resort in general. And I mean, there were a lot of changes. So I'm going to actually go back in time. And like, I'm not going to go through every single one, but I'll show you what it looked like. So let's go way back. So just on the first hole right here, you know, they ended up moving the green back. They lengthened it. They changed a lot of these bunkers here. I'll flash forward to now. Yeah, so the green got moved back here. They removed a bunch of bunkers around here. On the second hole here, let's go back in time. I mean, so this green actually kind of resembles a little bit what happens. It's an abomination of the seventh at Augusta, you know, with these three bunkers and in the front, one in the back here with a very shallow green. Gil Hans came in and be like, no, we ain't doing that anymore. Let's put a big bunker over here. They got to play towards, get a better angle into the green over here. So, Gil Hans, I don't think actually, like looking at his website and like his biography, I don't think he actually references this as a place he actually did a lot of design work for. He basically did everything he probably could to make it as good as it could be. I mean, he ended up expanding the greens and making them a little more contoured. He moved around some bunkers, but overall though, just at high level, there's nothing you can do about these giant man-made lakes. And when you have Donald Trump telling you how to design golf courses because he thinks he knows, you know, what's best for it, there's not really a whole lot Gil Hans can probably do. He probably wanted to take a stick of dynamite to this place and blow it up and recreate it. But, you know, I mean, Trump still had a big hand in how he wanted this place, and he wanted it to be a difficult golf course that would be worthy of hosting championship caliber golf. And it did. It's, you know, even though I don't particularly like the design, it is a very difficult golf course that challenged a lot of these pros, mainly because the whole goal is don't hit it in the water. And there is plenty of water on every single hole.
Of course, you're listening to the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, but we are home to over 20 gambling podcasts, and they are all completely free. This week's featured show is the MLB Gambling Podcast. Baseball is back, and so is the MLB crew with their free daily picks podcast. If you aren't already subscribed to MLB Gambling Podcast, I don't know what you're waiting for. And Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. You bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes, plus tons of other social features that give you the feel of a betting social network, plus lower vig and fully customizable odds, plus they handle the payment side of things so you never have to chase anybody down for money. Group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. Plus, you get cash back every time you bet against your friends and other users. Download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. And use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing app in the industry. You got your pick 'em game where you pick your favorite players. We'll have higher or lower stat in this week's game or match. You can win 100 times your money in a single day. Pick between 2 and 5 players to build your pick 'em parlay. You also make them rival picks where you pick 2 players against each other. Which ones could have more birdies, hit more greens, et cetera, et cetera. I love Underdog Fantasy. Sad that my favorite part of it left Florida. So if you still have the chance to take advantage of the pick'em, it's something I dearly miss. So go take advantage of it for me. So sign up today with promo code GOLFSGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com and find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with my promo code GOLFSGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 plus and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700. Or visit www.ncpgambling.org. And Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with the scroll stats and data. Enter any parlay ideas at Hall of Fame bets, a revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which hands have value. So stop betting on the DAC and join over 30,000 researchers with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame.
Everywhere. But unfortunately, though, Donald decided to run for president, and he ruffled a couple feathers, mostly when he mostly when he said some things about some Mexican immigrants that didn't really sit well, the PGA Tour that was condemned. So Cadillac, after shortly after that, probably a completely unrelated reason, by the way, decided that they did not want to sponsor this tournament anymore. And this tournament was, ironically enough, moved to Mexico.
That's right. It was so fucking.
Remember that?
That's pretty funny. About that. That was hilarious.
So this was without a home or without a tournament for a little bit, but in 2022, LIV Golf ended up bringing their season-ending team championship back to Doral, and now it is part of the regular season. Which actually, I kind of like. Like, there's a lot of things wrong with LIV, but the pool play format with the team championship actually is kind of cool between like the two man's alternate shot and then the individual match play. I kind of wish that was just the entire format of LIV.
Oh, I 100% agree. That'd be fucking awesome.
Just really lean into the whole team aspect. If they're really going to be all about the cliques and Torque, actually make it more about team golf with those types of competitions. But I'm guessing the players probably don't want to do that. So
no, probably not. But real quick, can I just tell you something? I meant to tell you this. This has nothing to do with LIV. This has something to do with, God damn it. Now I got to find it. What's Colby's fucking Twitter handle? DeBose. God damn it. Now I can't find it. But anyway, something today was like, I'm paraphrasing. Oh, there it is. All right. So I'll find it. So the TGL. You're going to love this, Steve.
Oh, is this about the Team New York?
Oh, yes, the Cam Young thing?
Well, just like, okay, so who's on New York? It's Xander, who's from California, Ricky, who's from California, Matt Fitzpatrick, who probably, visited New York City a bunch of times as a kid, and Cam Young, who is from New York, and apparently, one out of four guys on that TGL team.
I can read you the direct quote. Would you like to hear the direct quote?
Sure, let's hear the direct quote.
Having grown up a New Yorker, first learning to play at Sleepy Hollow, the opportunity to represent New York Golf Club feels surreal.
That's a little bit of an insult because, Oak Hill claimed Cam Young as their hometown hero here. I feel kind of bad.
Surreal, that by the way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Anyway,
like this is why I hate golfers. This is why I hate them.
All right.
Well, I bet on these guys and I detest them.
All right. Well, back to Doral. So, just some general facts about this place. This is a par 72 golf course, 7,701 yards. This thing is an absolute beast.
Ooh, baby.
Lots of long par fours, lots of long par threes. This 600 yard par five right here kind of resembles a little bit of the six at Bay Hill. Big carry over a pond with these bunkers here, and then a long approach shot into the green. There's a little bit of water over here.
That is knockoff.
Yeah, I mean, say what you want about the design, it's terrible, but like most of these holes, like you have to nut up and hit good golf shots. Like hole number 17 here, it's a very narrow landing zone with bunkers, pinching up both sides, and then you have a very narrow green with water right. Mm-hmm. Just nowhere to miss. I personally, though, this hole right here, number 11, let's talk about this stupid fucking hole.
Okay.
So, this might be, I and Gil Hans tried to make it a little better. I honestly don't know what they want you to do on this hole. So you're sitting at the tee here, and it's a split fairway. You had this large Sahara bunker, basically in the center here. And the fairway gradually narrows to about the 300 mark, and then, it's protected again by a bunker over here. But so it's split fairway. So I would assume that it wants you to go either, like, risk-reward one direction or the other. But I guess, going down the left, they want you to lay up because it bottlenecks too much. And they want you to go for it over on the right, but there's just no room over here either.
No. Yeah.
And if it's firm, it's going to roll this bunker here. I don't know really what they want you to do here. And even so, let's say like this is the optimal place. Let's say like they want you to go right. Look at this fucking green. I know. Like, where is the advantage of like on this hole? Like getting like a position. There's a left bunker front, a bunker left, bunker right, bunker back. I guess, but
yeah,
left.
I mean,
there's a little sliver right here.
Well, no, this yeah, I mean,
is
I
what guess I'm talking about. Pin,
right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I guess this is what I'm talking about is people like golf, these golf courses with a bunch of hazards and water. And like, look, there's not a whole lot of thought behind it. Like I could just like create a patch of land and put, you know, a 50-foot hole in it, you know, short of the green and say like, hey, this is a difficult golf course. And it's overkill here. And I'm sorry, I'm on my high horse here, but, and I try not to do it, but like this hole, I honestly don't know really what they want here. So one of the worst holes I've ever charted.
There's a giant building to the right.
I know. Yeah, like just, you know, and then even, you know, the very next hole, this is another long par four, 670 yards. Like, if you miss the fairway here, the layup zone is a disaster because there's huge bunkers short of the green. Just like, there's nowhere really to miss at this place. This is a 245-yard par three. You know, there's no water here, so at least you get a break. Maybe it's a birdie hole on this one. You know, back to a bunch of water on 14 here. You know, a par three with water right to the left side of the green here. This hole, though, this is actually one of the holes, number 16 here, that I feel like Gil Hans actually did improve upon. So I'll go back in time here. So there was a bunch of trees over here that, and the tee box was over the right, that really just kind of prevented you from really going for the green. But what he did was he ended up shifting the tee box a little bit to the right here, cutting down all the trees, and it's a 300-yard carry from the tee box over the water. Whew. So risk reward. And if you want to lay up, like there's a giant bunker over here. It's a very difficult layup. And it's all carry over. It's heavily protected by bunkers in front and back. So
that's mean,
again, it's seeing overkill.
Seeing this from overhead is like even more jarring of how mean this golf course is.
I mean, it gives you probably anxiety, right? No, you probably not to play this thing.
But
it's again, it's an overkill and abundance of hazards, but this is a hole that at least for professional golf could be entertained. Like, you know, maybe you get a north wind here, and Bryson decides to go for it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So, and then the closing stretch here, 17. Again, I showed this earlier, but just a tough closing hole, only 450 yards. But you really have to hit a really good tee shot, and there's nowhere to miss on the right. And the 18, this is one of the toughest closing holes in all of golf. I mean, it's only 468 yards, but, you know, there's a wall of palm trees over here that basically blocks you out with some bunkers here. Water left, and then the green here, it's a long, skinny green with water on the left here.
That's almost kind of like Sawgrass.
Yeah, I mean, this is the closing hole.
Yeah, closing hole looks almost like Sawgrass.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, like at Sawgrass, you see guys bail out to the right. Like, I mean, because there's like concession stands and everything. That's how Sam Burns made the cut, by the way, for you.
They lost the fucking match on Sunday, like a cocksucker and fucking
here though. I mean, maybe if I flip it around here, if you bail out right, like you're basically dead. There's just nowhere really to miss.
That hole is so terrible.
Yeah, and from the back tees here, I mean, like I didn't even like chart this, but like what's the carry to like even like this fat part of the fairway? It's 281. So like Graham McDowell is going to have a little bit of a tough time here. on this hole, he might have to lay up.
I gotta pick up Graham. He runs one of my favorite restaurants, Steve.
Yeah, Graham McDowell might have to go hybrid on this hole because he probably can't carry the water over here. So, look, that's Doral in a nutshell. Lots of water. It's difficult. Is it a well-designed golf course, in my opinion? No. Is it going to be entertaining? Probably for professional golf, especially seeing some pretty crappy players on LIV try and navigate this thing. Probably shoot 20 over. Sure. You know, there is that. So just some other general fact, this is a Bermuda golf course. I wasn't able to get exactly what type of Bermuda it is, but it's Bermuda. And honestly, the stats are not transparent or accurate enough to actually know who on LIV right now is really good on Bermuda. Just kind of know, just in general, I guess you kind of know your guys. I already showed the golf course here, some notable winners here. So Adam Scott won this in 2016. DJ won this in 2015. Patrick Reed won this in 2014. This is where he actually, do you remember what happened after he won this tournament in 2014? This is where he declared that he's a top five player in the world and people mocked him.
Yeah, yeah. Then he went on the Ryder Cup run, right?
Yep. And then he got really mad and ended up winning the Masters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go figure. Tiger Woods is a four-time winner at Doral. I think twice wins the WGC and twice when it wasn't. And one thing I forgot to mention last time with Hong Kong, I ended up figuring out, because like looking at like recent winners and who designs the golf courses, I've come to figure out that Greg Norman has just set the schedule based on places he's either won at or designed. Because so I'll go through it all. So Mayakoba, he's designed Mayakoba. The Las Vegas Country Club, he won the Las Vegas Invitational there.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeddah, it's the Saudis, so you know he doesn't really have a say in that. The Hong Kong Golf Club, he won at. He's won here. I think Sentosa in Singapore, I believe he's won at. So,
God,
basically, this entire
fucking ego on this guy. Holy shit.
Yeah. If it's played on LIV, chances are Greg Norman either designed it or has won here. And this is another example. He won here three times in 1999,
1993,
1986.
Interesting.
So, all right. Let's go to the Data Golf page. So this is actually kind of revealing. You know, we actually have Data Golf stuff that kind of tells us how guys scored on the golf turn, you know, on the golf course. And it's old, but considering what it actually revealed, the fact that it's very advantageous to be a bomber at this place, where you look at this screen right here, how you hit it off the tee in the tournament was more impactful back then than how it was the average PGA Tour stop. So that basically means the better your driver at this place, the better off your total score probably will be, the more correlated that is. And it's mostly based on how far you hit it, not necessarily how accurate you are. So bombers tend to do really well here for a lot of reasons. I mean, there's not really a whole lot of room to miss at this place, but everybody's probably going to miss at some point. So hitting it just kind of as far as you can on an impossibly long golf course is probably an advantage. And that's like this over the years. You know, in 2015, big advantage with driving distance. Again, a little more important that week with off the tee. Even in 2014, the year Patrick Reed won, which I don't have, so I only have 2 years. But still, it's pretty consistent throughout the years. In tournament iron play, the better you hit it in tournament, the better you did overall on your score, probably because there's so much water around the green that it's kind of like a PGA National, where if you avoided the water with your iron shots, if you have good iron shots, chances are you're not hitting in the water as much.
Right.
You do better overall on the leaderboard. Same thing with around the green too, like getting up and down, saving strokes, being efficient. That's more correlated to how well you do in tournament. And putting is severely de-emphasized. This is not a putting contest. You know, obviously, you got to make putts in any tournament you be in, but that's not really going to dictate how you fare ultimately on the leaderboard. It's going to be the guys that hit it the best tee to green. So, and as far as like the types of proximity shots you're going to hit, I mean, this doesn't really matter because we don't have this data, but I summarized it here. It's mostly a long iron competition. No shock, this 7,700 yards. 12 of your shots are going to be from over 150 yards. About seven of them are going to be over 200 yards. Only two shots from under 100 yards. So, you know, I mean, it's bombers.
This golf course is mean.
It is. I mean, there's a reason why I think the winning score the last couple I showed was like 12 under with Adam Scott. I think like 9 under with DJ. It's long. It's mean. Guys, there's going to be car crashes. it really values guys who just have some pop off the tee. It also values guys who are just hitting it solid. And a lot of guys I end up targeting this week, I've noticed that have been pretty good tee to green, struggle a little bit with the putter, but if they can just keep that rolling and just continue to demonstrate some good, consistent ball striking, you know, the putting might not matter as much as, you know, prior weeks. So those are the guys, type of guys I basically bet this week.
Is there a bunch of flat lies here, or is it, or is the other fairways got undulation to them and uneven lies?
Oh yeah, it's Florida golf course.
Okay.
Yeah, it's flat. And Bryson, so he won the team. So Datagolf
asked. You know why I asked that, yes.
No, I know. You're asking about Bryson. And yeah. Datagolf, I want to actually pull up. I can show you this with him. So if you look at, let's just go to Bryson, his page. Datagolf actually has, I mean, you can't drill down into it, but they captured what he did in the one round of the finals of the team event, where it was just everybody played their own ball, and he gained like 4.3 strokes on the field that week, at least in that round. So you can at least cling to the fact that he played good in one round. He clearly fits a lot of things you're looking for. I guess this probably is a good time to
bring up the stats.
Let's just pull up the stats. And these are the odds right here. So
red is good.
Red is better. So Bryson, not a great start in Mayakoba. You know, I mean, still hit it relatively well, but hit it great in Las Vegas from what I'm estimating. Did not putt it very well. Hit it okay in Jeddah, putt a little better. Hit it great in Hong Kong, a golf course I wouldn't really fit for Bryson, and putt really poorly. So if I'm looking for guys who've been hitting it generally pretty well for the year, again, I'm disclosing, this is not actual strokes gained tee to green. This is my own metric that I have created that actually, when you eyeball it, looks pretty accurate. It just gives me a high level of what these guys are doing. High level, Bryson's been hitting it pretty good this year. He seems like everything's really tight. The putter has been a little bit of an issue, and I have noticed just actually watching it. He's missing his fair share of like 10 to 12 footers sometimes.
Okay.
So, but the fact that he's hitting it so good, I saw him do really good well at Doral last year. I bet him 12-1 to win this tournament. I also bet him top 10 to even odds.
Awesome.
I feel like he's going to be in the mix. I feel like a lot of these top guys are going to want to sharpen their game for the Masters. And at even odds for a top 10 in a pretty weak field that is really going to separate the wheat from the chaff on a difficult golf course, you know, that looks a lot like Bay Hill, I'll take it.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
DJ too. DJ's got a great course history here.
Yeah, he's got a great course history. I mean, it was a decade ago, but I mean, the same thing. Like, you know, he's got length. He's been hitting the ball. Not quite as good as everybody else, but still, he's been hitting it solid.
It's been pretty steady for other than Jeddah for him.
Yeah, I mean, Jeddah was mostly the putter. Jeddah was just the putter, though.
Yeah. I was saying his putting's been steady other than Jeddah.
Yeah, it has. He's been putting it a little better this year. That's actually been probably pairing him a little more,
yeah.
I would say, with how he's been doing, you know, around the green and with his iron shots. But he's been hitting it solid. I mean, like, you know, just looking at, like, total tee to green, you know, per tournament, you know, doing fairly well relative to everything. And, I mean, he still has a lot of pop. He's still averaging 306 off the tee. So I did not bet DJ because I like the number better on Brooks at 20. And I bet that.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
So similar story with Brooks. Really good tee to green, at least from what I'm estimating, for most of the year. Hit it really good in Mayakoba, didn't hit a putt. A little more balanced in Las Vegas. Hit it pretty good in Jeddah. Didn't probably that great. Hong Kong, putt really horribly, but he hit it okay. That was actually a pretty bad result for Brooks. But what I'm noticing with Brooks is, even though the results don't really indicate it, it's a lot of, like, I think he finished like T12 at Vegas and Jeddah. Nothing really to write home about. Not great in Hong Kong. But what we know about Brooks is that before a major, he tends to really put the foot on the gas.
Yeah.
And from what I'm seeing, things have been really solid for Brooks. Like, if I want to go to, like, the iron numbers, I got him to 6 in this field as far as like what he's been doing with his
irons. Richard Bland is seventh.
Bland's been hitting the irons really good.
Lexington Grace is third.
Yeah. He's been hitting a lot of greens. And I mean, Grace has been relatively good in a couple tournaments this year.
Grace,
you know, Brooks is driving it really good. I got him in, you know, third in this field or fourth on live in driving. So I know the ball striking has been solid. So far the results haven't really been there, but if I know Brooks is going to kind of maybe turn on a little bit, ahead of the Masters on a difficult golf course where you got to be long, that's tough. I thought him being, 20-1 behind like Taylor Gooch and Cam Smith, who is hitting it completely awful right now, and behind Terrell Hatton, who hasn't been all that good. I thought the price was wrong, and I bet Brooks.
I think we're going to go DJ Brooks.
That's fine. If you want to go DJ Brooks, totally get it. I'm good with that.
Mike, you want to do the double with me? You want to do the parlay, fucking Brooks this week, Brooks next week?
I was actually asked if I wanted to go Bryson this week, Bryson the Masters.
Bryson's not winning the fucking Masters. You know that. Stop it.
I don't know.
Stop it.
I might have
railed against him every single year because he can't hit an uneven lie. And
so actually, he disproved that at LACC last year.
A little bit.
A lot did. He finished top 10 that week.
A little bit.
And you don't think that was a real golf course, by the way. So I guess it doesn't count.
No, it does not.
Okay. All right. I don't know if that actually
holds my narrative, Steve. It doesn't count.
Okay. I don't know if that holds water anymore based on what I saw there.
You know what's funny? I realized that I've been so poisoned by Boston Sports Radio that I've when I'm on here doing my shtick, I am literally just doing Boston Sports Radio. It's
You are.
So, unless if it's my narrative, I don't care.
All right. Anybody else like under 21? I mean, like, so you're going just Bryson DJ, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to go. No. I think we're going to go DJ Brooks.
I thought you were going to go Bryson DJ. Okay. So
No. DJ okay. Brooks.
All right. That's fine. I think that's perfectly fine based on what you're looking for. I mean, like, obviously, what's the threat the kid, is like. Go ahead.
I already skipped it.
I mean, I'm not really going to say anything important. I mean, Rahm is 6-1, Neiman 6.5-1. They've both been playing pretty great. Like, both of them drive it really good. Rahm seems like he seems really grumpy and angry. Something's been kind of off with him.
He does.
But this seems like a tournament that, like, he would probably just want to win before the Masters if he wins this. I'm not surprised. I'm not betting it, though.
Well, fuck, though.
So, all right. Why don't we move past like 20-1? Maybe you don't want to bet, like, those two guys. Maybe you want to go somewhere else. I mean, I've heard Paul Casey being bet.
Never.
Again, it fits with
his numbers look good on your spreadsheet.
Yeah. So he's been hitting it awesome this year. I mean, it's typical Paul Casey, right?
Yeah.
We all know him as a great tee to green, terrible putter. Yeah, that's exactly what's playing out right here. He's been hitting it really good, terrible putting. But if this is a ball strikers, golf course where putting is generally de-emphasized because how you actually do in this tournament is based on how you hit it. That's not bad. I mean, I got a 2-1 on a top 10 for Paul Casey, just playing good. I mean, lost in the playoff in Hong Kong, played good in Las Vegas.
I can't believe he lost that fucking Hong Kong bet, by the way.
Oh, with Cam Smith?
No.
Because Cam Smith is hitting it terrible this year. And actually, when I went back and looked, maybe I can just pull this up right here because this is probably just a Cam Smith discussion. I was expecting, probably hit his irons pretty good.
Yeah.
But he still lost. I think he was like 31st out of 55 guys in green regulation for the week, which again, like we're comparing to everybody else. And that's pretty bad.
Bad.
That's not good ahead of the Master. Like the problem with Cam Smith now is when he was really good, he was one of the best iron players in the world.
Yep.
And that's not really happening anymore. Like it's not as good, and you saw it what happened in the playoff. He hit a horrible approach shot. I don't know if it was a mud ball or not.
That's why I texted fucking shit, good night.
I don't know if it was a mud ball or not, but that was pretty inexcusable. So it just isn't clicking with him as much anymore. So, but anyways, I mean, I bet 2-1 on Paul Casey for a top 10. Also bet Dean Burmester for a top 10 at plus 240. Just hitting the ball really solid this year. Now, I'm a little concerned he hasn't done it on U.S. soil, though. His best results have been in Mayakoba and Jeddah in Hong Kong. you know, DP World Tour player. Maybe he can't do it in the States, but bomber off the tee, averages 313, hitting it great, not putting all that good.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, so I think he's got two top tens and four starts on based on the profile I'm looking at. You know, for okay. I think a top 10 is reasonable in this field based on what he can bring to the table.
All right.
Some other guys. How about Jason Kokrak?
Yeah, always.
Yeah, so Hong Kong went horrible. Again, not expecting that to be a Jason Kokrak track. But at the two courses where he could really unleash the driver in Vegas and Jeddah, and for whatever reason, like most of the guys, when I run these numbers, I feel pretty good about what comes out. For Kokrak, for whatever reason, it's not as good. So I kind of have to take a little bit of context. Yeah. He did better. Obviously, he did a lot better in Vegas than what I have his numbers at. And he did a lot better in Jeddah than what I have his numbers at. And those are two driver-heavy golf courses. I also noticed, too, with Kokrak that he's been really good at Bay Hill in his career.
True.
So a bunch of like top 10 finishes. I should go to his player page and I can show you what I mean with that. Because obviously, you know, you got the Dick Wilson connection with Bay Hill and the Blue Monster here. Obviously a lot of water as well. So Bay Hill, he's got T8 in 2021, oh. T18 2020, T10 2019, T20 2016, T6 2015, fourth in 2014. So the dude can navigate a long Florida golf course with a lot of water on it. And he's hitting the ball pretty good this year. As for a Texan, that's pretty good. Because I don't trust Jason Kokrak, he's a little volatile, but I got plus 115 for a top 20.
Top 10?
Top 10, I think he was like plus, I think you get him like 3-1.
Wait, it was plus 115 for a top 20?
That's what I got him at.
Ooh, I like that.
I went with that instead. Like the fact I got plus money and I got
All day.
It's 54 guys. There's a lot of garbage in this field who have absolutely no shot at this place. Shot.
Any short knockers are fucked here.
Pretty much, unless they're just super accurate, like an ambiancer and just hit every fairway. But they're going to miss at some point.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, detrimental for them.
Ask somebody to be perfect over 70.
Yeah, and not for nothing too. In the one round of the individual stroke play, Jason Kokrak actually played pretty well that round. So how
about that, all right
here. So that's like one. And then the last guy, you know, kind of popping up. He's popular, but
what about Matty Wolf?
No.
All right.
I think he's cooked.
Well, Bubba.
Bubba, I bet him for a top 20 plus 140.
Like
again, so he's 80-1 regular, but you know, for the most part, hitting the ball pretty solid all year. It's been issues with the putter. Hit it pretty okay at Mayakoba, hit it okay at Live at Vegas. Generally. Okay in Hong Kong, and I'm like, okay, is it all driving with him? But if you actually look at the iron play, like, is again, this is all just based on green regulation rate. It's not telling you a whole lot, but I'm just comparing what you do relative to everybody else.
Okay, 11th.
Okay. You know, so he's at least hitting greens, and to me at least, you know, hitting relatively good iron shots, just not making any putts.
All right.
So
I might get down on Bubba for an all
right. Okay. All right. So this is my card right now. So Bryson 12-1. I got him at Bet Rivers, 20-1 for Brooks at DraftKings. I don't know if those prices are still there, but that's where I got him.
So I still have 20 at Hard Rock, so that means DraftKings probably still got it.
Okay. Top 10 bets, Bryson plus 100, Brooks plus 160. I feel good about both those cashing, and then I feel good about one of Casey or Burmester cashing for a top 10 over 2-1.
Yep.
And then if you don't like the top 10 bet, Brooks Koepka is minus 110 over Cam Smith this week.
Oh, I like that.
See, I don't do matchups because I'm notoriously wrong on it, but that is one that...
That seems silly.
It does.
This is not a Cam Smith golf club. Even in his heyday, this is not a Cam Smith golf
club. I don't think it is either. So that's a tasty matchup. I
think fucking Hard Rock gives me the fucking matchups.
That's probably too bad. Maybe you can make a cut bet out of it. Maybe. So... And then positional, Jason Kokrak, top. Actually, it's plus.
Oh, you got Bubba at 140. All right, like it.
Yeah, it's plus 110 for a top 20 for Jason Kokrak, plus 140 DraftKings for a top 20 for Bubba. That's the card.
I like it. I'm definitely going to do Kokrak and Bubba, top 20.
Okay.
I'm definitely doing it. If I can find it, I'm doing the Brooks over Kim.
Anybody else you want to ask about? Since I got all these stats up, I can kind of show you what they've been
doing. What about that kid Puig?
The amateur David Puig.
What's he been doing?
So he's been doing all his damage on the Asian Tour events, the weaker stuff. When he gets to live, though, it's not all that great. I mean, he's still finishing better than the average in the field, but it's mostly with the putter. Long hitter, though.
Yeah, I know that.
So that's not bad.
The ear is struggling.
The ear is mostly doing it with the putter.
Well, because he's good off the tee, awful with the approach.
So he's actually a lot shorter than what I remember. He's only averaging 296 and a half, which is actually less than Patrick.
He was longer than that. Yeah, which is crazy because he was longer than that.
Yeah, maybe he got fat and happy.
Probably. That's what I would have done if I got that fucking big.
Yeah.
So HV3.
It hasn't been going all the good for HV3 this year.
Mito, I can never put money on him ever again.
Yeah, Mito. I don't really get it.
My God, Phil.
Phil has been atrocious. Can I actually let me you skipped over this, but the team?
Yeah.
The High Flyers? Horrific. You got Phil.
That's a bad fucking team, man.
You got Phil, Andy Ogletree, Brendan Steele, Cameron Tringali.
That's a bad joke team. What are the odds for the teams this week?
So the books have caught on. Before Legion 13, the John Rahm team was always the favorite. They've been pretty bad. I talk about this, I think, in the Hong Kong one. Look, I mean, like, Rahm is great. Haddon's great. If Caleb Surratt doesn't give them anything, they got no shot because Kieran Vincent stinks.
Yeah, who is that guy?
I told you, you've asked this before. So he's Scott Vincent's brother.
Oh, that's right. So you just remind me.
And they're from Zimbabwe. And he actually was a fill-in last year for somebody. And he won his way up into the promotions event.
Yeah. Hopefully he's gone next year. All right. So let's go. So what are the Crushers at?
So the Crushers, I think, are like 3-1. Smash. I think Torquay is actually the next favorite, which I actually prefer Smash. I still can't say these teams seriously. But look, Brooks's team. It's a solid team. I mean, you got Kokrak on that team, who I think is going to play pretty well. You got Taylor Gooch is still solid. I don't know if he's a great fit for this place, but he's playing.
Not a good fit for this place.
Probably not in his current form, which is a problem when you want to bet the teams because all the scores count on Sunday now. He's got nowhere to hide, but he's playing okay this year. But it's been at like some of the courses that I would think he's good at.
Let's scroll through the teams. Let's do this exercise just for me. All right, so let's see. So we got Four Aces, Pat Perez, hot fucking garbage. HV3 has been bad.
Yeah, Patrick Reed has also been bad this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's been all DJ, and that's it.
Cleeks are dead. Cleeks are dead. They're terrible. Crushers look good.
Crushers have been pretty good for the most part all year.
Yeah, and then Answer, Sergio Puig. Oh, my God. Chicago. No, thank you. High Flyers, no fucking shit.
Terrible. Kevin Na's team, horrible. Yeah,
fuck off.
Kevin Na's playing okay this year. Everybody else stinks on that team.
God. The Majestics are possibly worse than the last two, the High Flyers. Holy shit.
Yeah,
dusty motherfuckers. They're like me and you.
Well, this is also the team that has the three captains. Stenson, and Westwood are all captains. And I just feel bad for Sam Horsfield. It's probably like Office Space with poor Peter, where the five bosses tell me he screwed up his TPS reports. You got three captains coming after him saying, hey, you really screwed up hole six today.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Range Goats.
This is a joke. They're not actually serious about this.
Range Goats stinks. So it's basically what about Stinger might be a good one?
They're inconsistent. I don't know if this one, if Doral's probably a good
definitely not for Louis.
They seem to have done better at they all did pretty well in Jeddah.
So what's Smash's odds?
So Brooks's odds are probably like 5-1. Crushers are like 3-1. Honestly, I made this take at the Hong Kong show. If you probably just bet Brooks's team and Bryson's team every single week,
you're going to be positive.
You'll probably end up positive for the year.
Yeah. I don't hate that.
So, because otherwise, because I really do think.
Trash. Fine with that.
I really do think the fact they changed the format to every score counts on Sunday, and you just look at some of these guys, it's just, they're absolute garbage on some of these teams. And Bryson's team and Brooks's team at least have competent golfers, at least top to bottom.
Yeah.
You know, because Graham can still contribute sometimes.
Bubba's, I feel like Bubba's team should be doing better. Well, that's because
I mean, Peters is a knucklehead. U-line's crashed back down to earth, and Wolf is just, I mean, he's just, I don't know. Wolf. He's not a real golfer anymore.
No.
So, and honestly, Bubba's not really been very good this year. He's just not very good anymore. But, you know, maybe.
How fucking old is Bubba? He's got to be fucking
he's like
45, 40, 46,
he's like 44.
Yeah. Yeah. Older than me. So.
All right. All right. Anything else? I got nothing.
No, I like it. I love the breakdown. Love the breakdown.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I honestly was a little more excited to talk about Liv this week than
I know you were. Tomorrow. I know.
So I think it's just because like I don't see these golfers a whole lot anymore. So it's kind of a nice surprise to see him back, you know, on my TV screen sometimes.
So. My God, Richard Blandon, Keimer, Maronkin.
Maronkin's been okay. Maronk's cast me a couple of top tens this year. He's been okay.
No, I'm just looking at some of these teams. My Lord. I love Richard Bland, though. Love Bland.
Yeah, remember when I recommended Kai Samoya at Scottish Open? I got really excited about him. He missed a cut by like 7.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't forget.
Well played. Yeah, other than that, dude, I love your card. I'll tail most of it off. I'm just gonna bet smash and crushers for the teams.
Yeah. I think you'd be probably pretty good for the year if you did that.
Oh, I don't hate it. I think I'll go DJ over Bryson. Take Brooks. Let's do the double double. Let's just do the double double.
DJ DJ?
Nah, Brooks Brooks.
Brooks Brooks?
Yeah, Brooks Brooks.
All right, fine, do that.
Fuck it, let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if High Rock will let me do it. I got to check first. Yeah. All right. You got anything else for the peoples?
No, that's it. My voice is shot. I'm ready to go to bed. But this was fun and entertaining tonight. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, I love it. So next week, Masters Week, we'll be here on Sunday for a preview. Mothership Monday, possibly. Normal betting show on Tuesday.
We'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, whatever. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But we'll be at the Mothership at some point. Regular betting show on Tuesday. We'll both be boots on the ground fucking Thursday night. I'm sure we'll, do whatever Twitter live stream thing it is. Talk to people who've been there. So we get little edges for any Friday matchups and things like that. I'll be on the ground Friday. Give a little recap would be my guess. And be there on Saturday. And then I'm driving my ass back to Florida. So I'm not doing any recap on Saturday, but we'll do some on Friday. I don't know. Maybe I'll be in a good mood. Maybe our guys will be in front and I'll be happy. And we'll do some stuff on Saturday. But other than that, it's Masters Week next week. We got a spider giveaway. Go follow Golf Gambling Podcast on Twitter or X. More details coming out about that. And we'll hit you up with that on Sunday. Other than that, Valero, Live Miami, Masters next week. All cylinders are firing, baby. Let's go.